Let's take our Bibles together this evening, and let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7, if you have your Bible with you this evening, I hope you'll turn and read along with me in just a moment. And it's very good to be here. We're very thankful to be back at our sending church and to be able to bring the Word of God to you this evening. We're thankful for everyone who constantly prays for us, for all the wonderful messages that we give, for the many times you as a church family have given to our needs and constantly supported us through the years. We're very thankful, and God is answering your prayers. And I wanted to do two things as we look in the Word of God this evening. Number one, I wanted to be able to give an encouraging report of everything that God is doing in the UK and through your prayers and through your giving. We know that when Paul and Barnabas, and later on Paul and Silas, went out preaching the gospel, they were sent out of the church of Antioch, and they would come back from time to time, wouldn't they? And every time they came back, they would give a report of all the things the Lord had done and the open doors that were given to them. And I wanted to give an encouraging report to you this evening. But I also wanted to give you an encouraging truth from the Word of God. And so if you're there in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7, we know about Samuel that he was the last of the judges. The last of these men that God raised up by His grace and through His wisdom to be the rulers of His people. And what we find here in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7 is we find his last great act as a judge. Before the people would come to him in the next chapter, they would ask him for a king. And he would very reluctantly anoint Saul to be king over the nation of Israel. But I hope you'll read with me the first 13 verses here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. The Word of God says, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord, and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away your strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day. And said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And so the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Well, we're going to stop reading right there, and we trust that God will bless the reading of His Word. And what a wonderful account that's given to us in the Word of God. of a people that were really desperately surrounded. They'd come to Mizpah, and the whole host of the Philistines came, and they were desperately surrounded. And we find here in these verses a great national repentance and a great deliverance from the Lord. The Lord came and he thundered. And when all these events had taken place, it's recorded for us in the 12th verse that Samuel came and he set up a memorial. And I want to speak about that today. This memorial he set up, he called the name of it Ebenezer, for he said, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." What an important thing it is, as children of God, as his people, that we set up these memorials. Memorials are very important. It's important for us as children of God to remember what the Lord has done for us. And these are the types of things that ought to be set up in every generation. And I want to speak about this memorial that was set up, that Samuel came and he set up before the children of Israel, this memorial, and he called it Ebenezer. What was it? It was a place for them to look backward, wasn't it? It was set up, it was a stone, it was set up for a purpose, so that future generations to come in 10, 20, 100, 200, 300 years, perhaps even longer, future generations could come to that place as they were walking by. But I think we can understand from looking at the text that it was set up in a place where people would readily pass by. And people would come to this place very often. And people, as they came by, they could look back and they could remember. They could remember that there was a certain day in a certain place when, as a nation, the people repented from their sins and they turned back unto the Lord their God. I had the privilege very recently, just a few months ago, at the beginning of the year, to go along with some others and visit some of the churches that were part of the Welsh revival there in Wales. In 1903 and 1904, there was a great revival. And if you speak to people and you read the accounts concerning that revival, really what it was is it was a time of national repentance. When the people there in that small nation of Wales, they turned back unto the Lord. They repented of their sins. They repented of their godlessness. And they turned to the Lord. And what happened? The Lord did a great work. There was a great reviving in it. It was a time of national repentance. It's something we can pray for today. We're in great need, aren't we, here in the United States, in the United Kingdom? As our friend came a bit earlier and spoke about Finland, we could say in the nation of Finland as well, we're in great need of a day of national repentance. And the people could look back on a day when the nation, the children of Israel, repented. And I think this is really one of the very sad situations that we find ourselves in modern Christianity, is that we've come to a place where in many instances there is a real ignorance of what God has done for us in the past. And he set this memorial up so there's a place God's people could look backwards. I believe this, that every Bible-believing, Bible-practicing Christian ought to be, at least in some sense, a historian. How very important it is for us to understand and to know what God has done for us in the past. Just look at the very Word of God. Of all the things God could have recorded for us in His Word, of all the things God could have inspired and preserved for us, that 22 out of the 66 books of the Bible are primarily historical in nature. God wants us to know what He did in the past. Several of the Psalms are historical in the nature. They were written and they were put in Psalms and they were put in meters so that the children of Israel could sing about what God had done for them in the past. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and several of the New Testament authors were constantly referring, weren't they, to Old Testament history. Why? Because our God knows that it is a good thing for His people to look back and to remember what God has done for them in the past. When we think about our work that God's given us to do in the United Kingdom, not just my wife and I and our family, many of you will know that we work with the Crown Christian Heritage Trust. We work with a team of laborers there. in a work that was established many years ago in 2006 and is carrying on today. But we view the work that we do in England, we don't view as a work that started in 2006. We view our work very much as a continuation of everything God has done in that place in the past. And we very often like to look back and think about what God has done. I remember the very first time, 10 years ago, when I came to this church and was able to present our work and speak about the work in England. At that time, 10 years ago, there was one church to speak of, Beaches Road Baptist Chapel, that had been planted a few years before. And just a small handful of people at that church. Now there are six churches that God, by His grace, He's given us six different buildings around the country, and six different churches have been planted in those places. When I first presented the work 10 years ago, we had a very small place where we could train people as a Bible college, as Crown, part of Crown College UK, and we were meeting in a very small rented house. And the students that were there would live in that house in a room that really that would be a living room was a place where we had as a classroom. And now we can report 10 years later, as we look back, God has given us a mansion, Crown Hall, with land attached to it. And we as a staff, those who work there and our other the workers and laborers in that part of the world, we as a staff like to look back very often at the early days of the work. Why? Because it helps us to remember the times that God has helped us. I was thinking about some of those times earlier today. I was thinking about when my wife and I first went down to the city of Brighton and were able to see a church planted there. And thinking about some of those memories, the times God helped us there. I remember when we came to have our first holiday Bible club. You called it maybe a vacation Bible school. And we sat down to plan the holiday club and to come up with a budget, what could be spent for it. And there was a lady there who was helping us there. And we asked her, how much money do we have in the account? And she said, we have about £7 in our church account. And so our planning meeting turned into a prayer meeting. And we prayed for the first 2 hours of our planning meeting that God would give us some money so that we could purchase the things necessary to hold a holiday Bible club. And the very next morning, when we came to the church and unlocked the doors, we found an envelope had been pushed through the letterbox, and there were £200 in cash in the envelope. And we were able to have a Bible club with a budget of £200. God helped us. We were thinking about another time when we'd started a Sunday school, a children's work, and I had my car that would seat five people, and the lady who was helping us, she had a car that would seat five people, and we were picking up four children in my car and four children in her car, and we really needed a larger vehicle, so we started praying for a seven-seater. And not too long after we started praying for that, someone came. They came to the church to help with some work and some construction that needed done. And they brought with them a seven-seat vehicle, and they handed us the keys as a 13-year-old minivan and said, take this and use it for the Sunday school. And God helped us. It's important that we look back at those times and we remember. And as we look back, we remember this, that how the times that God has helped us. Doubtless you as a church, particularly people that have been a part of this great church for a number of years, could we look back and remember the times maybe when you didn't have as much as you had today, but God helped you. It's very important. This memorial that was set up by Samuel was set up so that it could be a place to look backward. Not only that, it was also set up so where it could be a place to look presently. He said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That's an interesting word, the word hitherto. It means literally up to this point. Up to this very present moment that we're at right now, God has helped us. Not only is God our help in the past, but God is our help in the present. Or as one of the Psalms say, our God is a present help in time of trouble. Now we as Christians, we are very good at focusing on our present trouble, aren't we? We constantly like to talk about our present troubles we find ourselves in. We constantly like to complain about the present troubles that we find ourselves in. But we fall into a very grave sin
when we like to speak about our present troubles and focus on them without focusing on our present help in time of trouble. Our present help is far greater than our present troubles. And what happens when we do this is we become like doctors who are very good at diagnosing illness, but very poor at treating it. But if we look to the Scriptures and we look to the Word of God, what we find is that our God is always a present help. And every generation from Genesis all the way through to the New Testament that ever existed in the Word of God, for every generation's troubles, what we find in the Word of God is we find records and accounts of God's help to those people in those generations. Turn to any account in the Word of God and you'll find troubles, but you'll find a present help in those times of troubles. Again, to give a bit of a report, we could say this, that God is helping us now. God's helping us in the work of England. We've come through and we're in the second half, aren't we, of what we would call a very troubling year. The year 2020 is evidence of that. I'm preaching to a camera this evening and not to a group of people who would normally be here for a midweek meeting tonight. It's been a very troubling year. But did you know that in the midst of those things, God was helping us in England? God was answering prayers. Did you know that during the coronavirus lockdown, we were contacted by three different groups in different parts of the country that had empty church buildings who contacted us? They said, would you be interested in coming to this place and taking this building and all the property and all the assets that go along with it and sending laborers to this place to start a new work? God was at work. Over the past year, maybe 18 months or so, we've had 7 new workers, full-time workers, coming and joining our team. 2 of them joined just this summer during the lockdown. And we have, God willing, another 8 who have committed themselves, who said, we'd like to come join you, and as soon as we're able to come join you, we're going to come join you. We're speaking of present help, presently in this town of Welshpool, right on the Welsh-English border. God has given us a beautiful historic chapel. It was built in the mid-1800s. And God has given it over for the work of church planting. That church, this upcoming Sunday, will be holding its very first Sunday services as a reopened church. God is a present help. Currently, as we speak, we have young people who are traveling to our facility there at Crown Hall from all over the country, and some even from mainland Europe. Our first European students are coming. And we have 11 new students who are joining us. This is more students we have this term, more British students at least, than we've had in every other year combined. In fact, we're speaking, I'll mention a few things in a moment that we're wanting to do there at Crown Hall. God is at work. A few weeks ago, we went back to open-air preaching. This is something we do very often as a church. We go into our local city center, Birmingham City Center. Our other churches go to their local city centers as well. And we set up a little box with scripture verses on it and a little board with Bible talks on it. And we preach the gospel there in the open air as people are shopping, as people are going from place to place. And normally we get a very mixed reception when we go and preach the gospel. We get just as many people coming and heckling and yelling at us and shouting out all sorts of things as we do people stopping and listening. But it's been very interesting to see what's happening presently. As we've gone back into the open air, we thought, well, are people going to be afraid to stop and listen? Are people going to be worried about their health, other things? And what we found is there's been a great softening of people's hearts. Far fewer people are willing to stop and heckle, and far more people over the past several weeks have stopped and asked questions and have stopped and wanted to know about how they can know the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can have eternal life and how they can know that their sins are forgiven. God is at work presently. I hope you're not someone who worries about the time that you're alive. This is a very exciting time for we as Christian people to be alive. Why? Because we can not only look back, but we can look at right now, up to this point, up to this present moment, God is helping His people. And God is doing His work. God's doing a great work right now. It was a place to look presently, but not only that, it was also a place to look forward, this memorial that was set up by Samuel. And this phrase that is given, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Really, it's what is we found in this phrase. It's not just a statement of fact. It's also an assumption. There was something, if you read that statement, if you understood what that name meant, you could assume the second part of it. That's just the first part of the statement. The second part of the statement was given to you and I to assume. What is it? If we read that statement, "Hitherto, up to this point, God has helped us." What can we assume from reading that? Well, we can assume this. If God has helped us up to this point, God will surely help us from this point onward until the Lord comes. This is a place to look forward. We can, and we should, and we must believe as God's people that God will work in a great way in the future. We must believe as God's people that the greatest days to come are the days in front of us. That the greatest works of God that we will see are the ones that we have yet to see. It's a place to look forward. That there are greater things around the corner. I hope you believe that as a Christian. Very often we meet people, and you meet people, and maybe I hope you're not one of them, perhaps you are. That when you look into the future and you speak about the future and you speak about the days to come, that you think of things that are very doom and gloom. And we very much like to quote verses from the scripture that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I heard somebody tell me the other day there's going to be a great falling away. The scriptures speak of many of these things, of course. But the Bible also speaks of the power of the gospel. It speaks of an omnipotent God. That means He's almighty. He's all powerful. There's none that can limit Him. There's none that can stop Him. And God has given us many great and wonderful things. And we have much to look forward to as God's people. Again, speaking of our work in England, we believe we have much to look forward to. We earnestly believe this is the year for us. And God gave us this place, Crown Hall, to train people to preach the gospel and to send them out all over the UK and, God willing, into other places in Europe to preach the gospel and to plant churches and to establish new works. We earnestly believe that this is the year that we'll have to purchase more land. We already have 11 students coming, and as more continue to come in, we don't know where we're going to sleep and where they're going, how we're going to feed them all. And we need more land. We earnestly believe that God's going to expand that into the future, perhaps even this year. We earnestly believe this is the year where we're not just going to see one church planted as we have in years past, but by God's grace and as God opens the doors, that we'll see multiple churches planted. That'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? We believe in the next few years, this is something we're praying about earnestly. We don't know God's timing or exactly where or when. God will open the right door. But as God opens the door, that we'll see our first work started over in mainland Europe. We've had many opportunities. We were able to travel to Spain and Portugal this year, to the Netherlands. We have people who have contacted us in Switzerland and in France. Someone very recently contacted in France asking if we may be able to come and start a work in that part of the world. There's good Christian people in those places who desire for new works to be started in those places. And we're praying that God will open the right door at the right time. I hope you'll pray about that. Pray that God would allow us very soon to be able to send laborers into mainland Europe, wherever He would lead. But it was a place to look forward. And our application this evening, as we look here to the Word of God, as we look at this statement that is given to us that Samuel set up many thousands of years ago, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us," the application is very simple for us today, isn't it? God has helped us in the past. Don't forget it. Go pick up a Christian biography of someone who served the Lord long before you and I were born. Read about how God helped them. God has helped us in the past. And what we are doing is not a new thing. You and I don't do anything new. What we are doing is continuing what many generations of Christians have done for years and years and years, faithfully serving the Lord and faithfully seeing God's help. God has helped us in the past. God is helping us at this very moment. God is at work. And God doubtless will help us as we look to the Lord and believe in Him. Let's have faith in God. Many believers, many Christian people are very worried right now. Many people that you meet, and by the way, that was the case long before there was a coronavirus, before there was a lockdown, before any of these things, many people were motivated by fear, motivated by a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. Let's have faith in God. Let's take this moment that God has given us, this present moment. Let's be faithful in it. Let's be busy doing the Lord's work. Now is the time to be an evangelist. Now is the time to reach people. Now is the time to be a gospel witness. Now is the time to get out into the highways and hedges. There's never been a greater time than now to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Our God is a present help, and He will continue to help us by His grace from this moment. Let's pray together this evening. Our gracious and loving God, we thank Thee that Thou art a God that we can read about in the Word of God. And as we open the pages of Scripture, we read about how Thou wast a help to Samuel the prophet, and to Moses, and to Elijah, and to David, and to the 12 apostles, and to many others. Help us and give us those same eyes of faith to see how Thou art working right now. Encourage us, encourage the people of God and the body of Christ here in this church to look forward to Thee, to have faith in Thee, not just to look back at what Thou hast done in the past, but God, grant us vision and faith to look forward and to see and to hope that what Thou wilt do in the days to come. We love Thee and thank Thee for Thy grace towards us. We pray in Jesus' name.